I'm so glad Jesus told us what eternal life is. It's not church. It's not even really, it's not anything else but this. And that's John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, and he's talking to the Father, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Wow. Now come on down to verse 17, because we're going to talk about truth right now. I love this too, because this is the true definition of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we backed up to John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, based on this definition, let's just make, I'm going to make some statements here. You might want to write these down. You might not. It's just, I was just praying, and a sentence would come to me. This is my meditation time. I'm going to share with you some of my meditation time about the truth. Well, we know from that verse, number one, the truth is God's word. Isn't that right? The truth is God's word. Well, if God's word is truth, could you say that anything that does not line up with God's word is a lie? See, right at the end of 1 John, in fact, I'll quote it from the King James, but the Greek says it just a little, the original Greek says it just a little different. Hang on just a moment. I wasn't planning on this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, we know that we are of God. Well, thank God for that. We are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now the actual Greek there, if you look it up in the Amplified, it says something like this. The whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. See, in John 8, you don't have to turn there either, Jesus, talking about the devil, said he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He said there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is the author. He is the beginning. I was meditating that on that one day, thinking, you know, Dave used to say to us, we know a little about our universe. We're always discovering more about the universe we live in. We know it is expanding, and so much that we know and so much that we don't know. Someone sent me a thing the other day from the Hubble telescope thing that they did years ago, and they found this little patch of, I mean, a little bitty patch of black space that looked like there was just nothing in that little, like nothing there. So what they did, they focused the Hubble right there, this little, and they said the size of it would be about the size of a grain of sand, you know, where they're trying to pinpoint this. And they opened up the lens on the thing and let it go for like, I forget now, 24 or 48 hours, something like that. When they closed it and looked at the image, thousands of galaxies that's never been seen before, containing billions of stars. How big is our universe? That's a little humbling. I'm big. Mm-hmm. How big is the universe you live in? And we're still learning. And then Dave would say, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us one way or the other. We don't know. He may have created other universes. Maybe before this one. I mean, how Dave would say it, you go all the way back to the beginning before anything had a beginning, and God had always been there from that point on. You know. He said, well, we don't know. He may have created many universes in the past. He says, there might be many universes now that we don't know anything about. We really don't know, do we? With that thinking in mind, I was meditating on a lie. We probably ought to look at that verse. Go to John 8. Okay. Let me find it. Yeah, here it is. So John 8, verse 44. He's talking to the religious Pharisees, by the way, and you wonder why they wanted to kill him. You are of your father, the devil. Little Jesus, meek and mild. Mm-hmm. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now this is the statement here. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and notice, and the father of it. Now again, let me get your thinking back. In all of time, before there was time, when you go how Dave said, all the way back, before there was a beginning, God always was before that. And in all of that, in all of this universe, and perhaps any other universes he ever created, I think, there was never a lie told. There was never a lie until the devil's told one. God is truth. See, that helps me when I think, when Dave would belabor the point, God cannot lie. Remember how he would labor over that with us? He says, we think we understand that, but we really don't, because we know that we can. And our work, our effort, is to try and keep from doing it. So we have a hard time relating with a being who can't. This helps me in all of the universe, or perhaps universes, in all of eternity, in time past. Anything God created was always truth. And there was never a single lie until the devil told one. And now our planet lies under the power of that one. We just read it over in 1 John. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one, the one who's telling lies. So as I've been meditating on this, I think again, I always come back to that woman, maybe because I'm battling being bent over myself. I think about that woman that was bowed over for 18 years. Now, anything that's been in your body for 18 years, you're learning to live with it, you know. You're just learning to live with it. And well, this is probably how it's going to be. And he found her in the synagogue. I know I'm repeating, but that's okay. He found her in the synagogue. So this is we would say today, a church-going woman. How many times in 18 years did she hear one of the elders read out of the scrolls, I am the Lord that healeth thee? How many times did she hear, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee? How many times did she hear, when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble one among them? How many times did she hear them read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and who heals all thy diseases? She had knowledge. Over and over I'm hearing right in this season, it's one thing to have knowledge of the truth, but it's a whole other thing to walk in truth. The difference is believing. Getting back to that was note one, by the way. No, we'll get you out pretty early. So let's start off again. You might want to write some of these. These are good statements. Just put them in your meditator. Number one, the truth is God's word. The truth is God's word. We just read that in John 17, 17. So anything that does not line up with God's word is a lie. Now that brings us to the woman bowed over. I hadn't forgot her. Anything you've had in your body, trust me, you've had it for 18 years, that masquerades or pretends to be the truth. This is how it is, you know. But see, really, truth walked in the door one day. Now, I'm trying to picture this. We're not given much dialogue. The woman didn't really say anything. Jesus did all the talking in this event. But here comes Jesus, and he's looking at her. What is he thinking? Now, here's a woman under the power of the wicked one. Now, see, in her case, it plainly says he cast a spirit of infirmity out of her. Okay? But boy, did her infirmity seem real. In fact, facts would say It is real. I'm not saying it's not. It is a fact. But you got to remember, truth changes facts. Isn't that right? So the truth walks in, and he sees a woman that's under the power of the wicked one. And that's not, he knows that's not the Father's will. And everybody's watching because it's on the Sabbath day. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Truth has spoken. Truth has authority over every fact. That demon did not have a choice. It did not have a chance. It had no power against the truth. We have got to understand that. God's word is truth. And pain, sickness, the devils have no defense against it. Now, this is good stuff. If we walk in this, we're going to have revival. Okay? See, we tend to equate facts with truth. But facts can often line up with a lie. Just like in that case there, this woman is under the power of the wicked one, obviously, and he's a liar. Truth walks in and makes a declaration. Doesn't negotiate. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now I'm seeing the man with the withered hand, and I don't know exactly what that looked like, but it says withered, so I'm thinking shriveled up or something where he can't do anything with it. And in that case, Jesus walks up and he tells him to do something impossible. Now see, the facts would say, I can't do that. Because Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. And facts would say, it's withered. I can't. And every doctor you could line up would agree with you. Isn't that right? But Jesus says anyway, the truth says anyway, stretch forth your hand. And all the guy had to do was make the effort. And truth took over. And truth changed the facts again. We talked about Peter walking on the water. Anybody will tell you, anybody that's been to school will tell you, a human male, adult male cannot walk, in fact, a human baby. But an adult human male cannot walk on the water that's not frozen. We know it wasn't frozen because in the middle of a storm. And yet, when truth said, come, truth changed every fact. And Peter walked on the water. This is revival talk. Religion will call you crazy when you talk like this. God thinks we're finally acquiring a mature mind. To start thinking like God. Because we belong to a kingdom that you can't see, but you can sure see the effects. More and more I'm understanding why he talked about it, the realm of the Spirit being like the wind. There was a pretty good wind on my porch a while ago. I loved it when we had what they call an outflow boundary come through off of some rain. It didn't rain, but we felt the... Boy, when that came through, whew, I didn't see it. I heard it. I heard it. But I didn't see it. Boy, could I feel the effects of it. Oh, that was nice. Man, the temperature dropped about 15 degrees in 15 minutes. Gotta love it. Might have been quicker than that. Well, that's the way truth is. When truth comes, you may have had facts that's been there a long time, but truth changes the facts. And that's what Jesus is saying. This realm of the Spirit, you can't really see it, but boy, you can sure see the effects of it. And we're called to walk in truth. Okay. So now the truth is God's word. Did you write that down? Okay. Now notice, Jesus Christ is the word manifested in flesh. For 3 years, you could see the word. You could see the kingdom. He says, if you want to see the Father, look at me. What we're called to do is to let Jesus be seen again through us in this generation. That the Word be seen again. If you want to see the... He said, you want to see the Father? You want to see the Word? See, the prophets told about God. But Jesus demonstrated God. When he says, I have glorified you, they are able to see you through me. They can see you. Through me. If you want to see the Father, look at me. We should be saying, you want to see Jesus? Look at me. That's not arrogant. That's called truth. That's exactly what he intends. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And he told us why he had to go. If I don't go to the Father, this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. I like to say it this way. If I don't go, the God that's in me will never be in you. No wonder we're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. How about this sentence? This is my meditation. Truth changes facts because truth dismisses the lie. Truth changes facts because truth dismisses the lie. When Jesus walked in and there's a spirit of infirmity, a lying spirit manifesting a lie, which is not the Father's will. Now, I didn't say it was not fact. It is fact. But it's a lie anyhow, because it's standing opposite to the truth. Jesus loosed that. They said the spirit departed from her. He dismissed it. I think that's what we're supposed to do with pain, sickness. Remember when Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever? He says he rebuked the fever. We need to start learning to talk to fever. Now, in her case also, there was a spirit involved. If you read all the accounts, there was a spirit involved again. And I wonder how often there's a spirit involved. He may open our eyes where we can see. But in any case, Acts 10:38, how God anointed, and the way it's worded is perfect, always perfect, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's to let you know we're talking about the man Jesus. Now, he is God, but he laid down all of his Godhead. He's operating as a man born of God and anointed by the Holy Ghost. It's how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, if you'll notice, he didn't cast a devil out of everybody that he healed. But it says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. What does that tell you? All sickness is from the devil. One way or another, it's because of the fall. It's because that Adam and Eve believed a lie. Got to go back to the original lie. Now, there was lies before that in heaven, because he convinced a third of the angels that they could beat God. I think that's a lie. And how he got a third of them to believe that, he's pretty good at what he does. You got to give him that. Okay, so that was a lie. But in the garden, God had told him the truth. In the day that you eat the fruit of that one, in that same day thou shalt surely die. And the devil said, well, did God say that? Well, yeah, God said that. He says, no, you won't die either. He just plainly come against it. Now you won't die. He's telling his people nowadays, see, in Romans it says that if you live after the flesh, you'll die. And the big lie today to everybody is, no, you won't die. Now, his grace covers that. You can live in fornication, adultery. You know, you can stay drunk all the time. You can do all it. No, you won't die. Yeah, you will too. See, that's the same gospel the devil was preaching all the way back in the garden. Now, you won't die. Yeah, they did too. Died spiritually the very same day. Okay. Truth changes facts. Because truth dismisses the lie, whether it's a spirit or not. It dismisses it. It changes it. Woman, thou art loosed. How about turning water into wine? I don't think there was any devils involved there. He didn't cast out a devil. See, I know just enough science to be dangerous as an engineer. See, I know enough to know that H2O has no grape in it. There is no grape in H2O, okay? So you got water, but when he gets through with it, it's wine. Why? Because truth declared it. Truth declared it. It is. He's not only a healing God, he is a creating God still. Jesus said, pray this way. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. See, God's word is truth because God's word is his will. So he could just as well have said, thy truth be manifested on earth the same way it is manifested in heaven. Couldn't you say that? Thy truth be manifested on earth the same way. See, and this takes me right back to the verse that started all this. I kept hearing, what is truth? And I knew that was Pilate asking Jesus that. But at the verse right before it says, Jesus talking, he says, for this purpose I came to bear witness of the truth. So every time you see Jesus doing something, he is bearing witness of the truth. This is the Father's will. Not bowed over, healed. This is the Father's will. Not a withered hand, a regular working hand. This is the Father's will. Not a man be blind, but that a man see. And on and on and on. We've got to understand God's not fighting against us on this. He's all for us on this. He's trying to reprogram us so we think like him. See, God's kingdom on earth is totally based on his will being done. Because he is truth. He doesn't change. This is his will. It's always been his will. So when we're going about how God anointed the prayer center with the Holy Ghost and with power, and they went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, it's the same thing. God is with us. Hallelujah. But if we're still half into, well, maybe it's not the will of God, and maybe he won't use me, and that's just plain old unbelief. That's not what Jesus said. God's will was, I'm still right giving you sentences. God's will was, is, and always will be. God's will is done through God's word. Always. You go back to Genesis. There was the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. All power, knowing it, had full ability to create light, knew that the Father wanted light. He's all knowing. Knew that the Father wanted light. He has the ability to produce light, but he isn't doing anything. Why? The word had not yet been spoken. The Holy Spirit, the number one way he works is with God's word. And as soon as the words were spoken, and I like it better in the Hebrew, you know, in the English it says, let there be light. And there was light. But in Hebrew, it says, light be. And light was. It's like, I'm showing up. Should be that way when we speak healing. Whether it's a knee, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's a back, whether it's a hip, I don't care what it is, that is not God's will. We've got to understand that is not God's will. We can't be confused about that. And we have the truth of God's word. We have been authorized in the name of Jesus to go forth and manifest the will of God on planet earth. And his will is truth, and truth will change every fact. Glory to God, I'm preaching good today. Hallelujah. Jesus is the manifestation of the truth. He is the truth. He is the word with legs. For 3.5 years, we have it recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can see God's word. Because we can see Jesus walking through those pages. For all of time, God's word has been manifested in a way that we can see it. And we can know it. And what man has done is made religion out of it. And it's not all wrong, but a lot of it's wrong. He didn't. God, oh, man, there's a sentence. He didn't really call us to just worship the truth. He called us to be transformed to the truth. Well, now that's a sentence. Transformed to the truth. Be you no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. More and more now that I'm understanding the branch better, how important our bodies are. You know, we've used the words like mortifying the flesh, and we should. You know, mortifying the flesh, the evil deeds of the body so much. There's almost an attitude that came up in me and like, well, my flesh is just so evil. And in a way it is. I mean, it's not saved. I do know this. My flesh will do anything I let it do. It won't argue with me at all. My conscience will, but my flesh won't. My flesh has no conscience. It'll do anything. And if it likes the feeling that it gets, it's going, we're doing that again. And that's how you get addicted. But now that he's showing me the branch, boy, that was a sentence that day. Grapes don't grow on the vine. They really don't. I remember my grandpa's grapevine, that old ancient vine coming up out of the ground. You can follow that thing all the way. And of course, being a six-year-old kid, to me, it went on for a half a mile. I'm sure it didn't, but went on a long way. You can follow that old vine all you want to. You will never see a grape growing right off the vine. No, the grapes grow on the branch. Jesus said, I am the vine. He is the vine. You are the branches. And it's given me a whole new respect for my body and how important it is to him. He has no branch. He has nowhere to produce the fruit except on the branches, and we're the branches. No wonder he says we're his hope in the earth. He's hoping we get this. He's believing we get this. So what is truth? If you want to see truth, if you really want to understand truth, I'm going to recommend again Matthew. I got four good books for you. Five. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Book of Acts is where you see the fruit on the branch. See, and really, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see the fruit on the branch. At that time, he was the only branch. While he had his own physical body, he was even prophesied about, I think it's Isaiah, it might be one of the other prophets, but it said a branch shall grow out of the root, the stem of Jesse. And it was prophesying about Jesus. And for 3.5 years, he was the only branch, really, on planet Earth. Now, he put his anointing on the 12, and he put his anointing on the 72, but they operated under his mantle. That's why Jesus said to them, you know the Holy Spirit, he is with you. Because when they went in Jesus' name and did the miracles, the Holy Spirit was with them. So they knew what that's like. But he says, what's coming, he's going to be in you. Well, that's talking to us. And if you don't, you know, the promise of this Holy Spirit is to you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off. Jesus said in John 17, I'm not praying just for these that are here with me today, but I am praying for all that shall believe on me through their word. If that's not us, it is us. Now, in this season right now, he's dealing with hope, at least with me. He's trying to get me, like even when we do the confessions tonight, you remember years ago he was teaching about hope. And he says, I understood more about confessing God's word and the power of confessing God's word than I knew about godly hope. But he didn't just change Abraham's name. See, if that's all that he had did, I don't know that Isaac would have ever been born. Because if they just kept looking at that empty crib, there was nothing on the inside of them, no hope for faith to give substance to. So God had to not only change their name, even before he changed their name, he gave them a different hope. Now, we've been confessing these confessions for many, many years. And we should. And I'm glad we have, and I'm going to keep doing it. And we're going to have everything we say. But if we want to accelerate it, we need to engage our hoper more than we have in the past. He's bringing this remembrance to me. I don't have it printed out. But do y'all know who Mario Murillo is? He is a longtime evangelist. He was involved in the Jesus movement back in the 70s in Berkeley, California, and he's seen real revival, and he's still a fiery evangelist today. And in his meetings, they have signs and wonders. They have healings, and they have all. And drug addicts, they come up and they throw their drugs down and stomp on them and everything and get saved. Well, thank God for a real evangelist, you know. But he wrote a blog here recently. He says, you can't reach me. Nobody can reach me for several hours before every meeting. He says, because I have to get alone with myself. He says, on the inside, I have to win the war before I ever go to the meeting. I already see the people coming to the altar before the meeting ever starts. I see cripples being healed before the meeting ever starts. I see drug addicts stomping on their drugs before the meetings ever start. I read that and I went, here's a man that engages hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He engages hope before he ever steps out to minister. We might can learn some things, you know. So I am going to go. Let's go ahead and just do the confessions now. But what we'd like to do tonight, let's really do our best to engage hope. Everything that we see, everything that we say, just like this morning when we read those confessions, God has already told us what's going to happen here. Our job is to believe it, see it in our hoper, just like he told Abraham what was going to happen before it happened. See these altars crowded. When we say 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week, to help you, if every chair was set down that's against the walls, it'd be roughly 500 chairs, roughly, in here. So that's twice here every week. Does that help your hoper? When we say every wheelchair emptied, we mean every wheelchair empty. First time. Every time. Drug addicts come in. I see them flopping like chickens over there. Devils coming out. Drug addicts being healed. Alcoholics being healed. Bipolar devils coming out. Hallelujah. Okay. And Sue says, how many bathrooms should we be thanking God for ahead of time? Father, we need more bathrooms. We're calling in the bathrooms, Father. Hallelujah. A 10-to-1 ratio, women's to men's. We need a 10-to-1. Hallelujah. At least. Say, Father, I worship you. I glorify you. I praise you. You're not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore, I say, your glory is present at the prayer center. Now see it. The blind see. Let's do it a little different. Homer Betancourt sees. Let's get real with this. That's a friend of ours. Okay, let's do it again. The blind see, including Homer. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And the dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Now here it is. A minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. And we have a minimum of 500 intercessors who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. We are able to get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. We have that kind of worship that takes us beyond the veil of the flesh. In order that we may worship in spirit and in truth. We worship you, Father, out of our new nature. And we give you family worship as your sons and daughters. Father, at the prayer center, those that come will see a people transformed to the nature of Christ. Father, we say, in the name of Jesus, no person ever leaves the prayer center the same way they came. Every person that comes receives a touch from the Good Shepherd. Father, those that come who are beaten down, discouraged, worn out, and tired, they won't leave that way. They'll be encouraged, strong and mature. They'll leave standing upright, their shoulders squared, their heads held high, going forth as a mighty army to take this planet for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Father, your glory fills every service. Father, your glory fills every service. And according to your word to us, your glory will be so manifest. Your presence will be so strong. We'll have a hard time walking in this sanctuary. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. They'll leave as earthen vessels, filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. They'll carry your presence with them, and they'll carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We'll never settle for man's gospel. Only yours. It's the gospel that saves, the gospel that fills, and the gospel that heals. That's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Maimed, be whole. Dead, rise again. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We'll settle for nothing less. We're going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service. At every service. At every service. The lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The altars are crowded with people getting saved. People are getting healed all over the place. People are getting delivered in another place. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The maimed are made whole. And the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. More than 12 legions of angels are loosed to prepare the way for revival. Angels are dispatched to the four corners of the earth, intercepting and stopping every mission and every assignment of the enemy that would bring circumstances against those who would come. Angels are changing those circumstances by rearranging them, causing money to come, and by changing schedules. We say, every person that is to be here will be here in the name of Jesus. There is no devil big enough, no assignment crafty enough, no circumstances bad enough that will keep even one from being here. Father, we declare your house full. Angels are moving back the forces of darkness over this region. They're opening up a window of light, 25 miles in every direction, both horizontally and vertically. There is a fortress of angels surrounding us to keep back the darkness. Father, angels are dispatched now, softening the hearts where hurts have wounded, where calluses have formed, where walls of defenses have gone up. Angels are softening the hearts and creating atmospheres where the people can hear the voice of their shepherd. Angels are preparing their hearts now, so they're already receivers when they arrive. From the first word spoken, from the first song sung, From the first prayer prayed to the end of every service, the people are free to receive from your Spirit. The assignments of all devils against the prayer center, the people of the prayer center, and the leadership of the prayer center, all those assignments are dismissed in the name of Jesus. I declare those plans null and void. Devil, we're taking Tulsa from you. In fact, we already have. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Not you. We're in authority here. Not you. Devil, get out of Tulsa. Take all your demons with you. The King of Kings has made a decree. And I am speaking in his stead. The King has declared, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The King has decreed, captives, you are free. Every person returns to his original inheritance. That is the born again trail. Father, you have restored our inheritance. And at the prayer center, the inheritance is not just known about. We don't just teach about it, but it's received, manifested, and seen. Father, you have restored our fellowship with you. The firstborn told us to pray. Father, your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so in Tulsa, where there are no lost people in heaven. Therefore we say, Tulsa is saved. There's no sick people in heaven. Therefore we say, Tulsa is healed. There are no demoniacs in heaven. Therefore we say, Tulsa is delivered. And there's no poor people in heaven. Therefore we say, Tulsa is prospered. And Tulsa is blessed. We declare every captive free. Now, massage your hopper just for a moment now. It's got crusty and dry from non-use. Okay? See this. See what we're saying now. We declare every captive free. Every wheelchair emptied. All of them. No exceptions. Every artificial help. Wheelchairs, crutches, canes, hearing aids, glasses, stretchers, bladder bottles. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. And we'll have them here as trophies. To the glory of Jesus, the healer. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed. First time. Every time. All of them. No exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You healed them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In the name of Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings, like never before since the book of Acts. Father, it's you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my own soul, I command you. Believe this. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. And every backslider will come back to God. They will never leave God again. So now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Father, forgive me all of my trespasses against you. I am freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb. In order that my record in heaven be perfect. Therefore I say, because of the blood, what Jesus did for me, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. That drives the devil nuts, by the way. I lay down my life that the life of Christ may be manifest in me. I take no offense. I give no offense. And according to my record in heaven, I never have. At the prayer center, the mind of Christ is delivered to both the sheep and the shepherds. It is delivered with such simplicity and with such clarity that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Therefore, I say, the people at the prayer center, and especially me, we all understand every word that Pastor Dave teaches. And we declare that Pastor Dave teaches. Every need is met. No matter how large, no matter how small, there are no cases too hard. There are no cases too late. And whatever they come for to receive from Jesus, they get it. All of them. First time. Every time. No exceptions. Now, I can't help it. I'm not going to disobey when he shows me. I'm seeing so clearly right now. The Lord blessed me where I got to go to South Korea and go to Yonji Cho's church, which is a great church. Huge, huge building on the island of Yoida. And at that time, it was the largest church on planet Earth. They had like 250,000 members. But the church is not near that big. But they have services all day long. All day long. And the Koreans are so efficient. You ought to see them. They got these guys in these white coats, you know. In 15 minutes, they can get 10,000 out and 10,000 in. It's just amazing. But what he's showing me right now is reminding me. He had me sit. In fact, they seated me somewhere and the Holy Ghost told me to move. So I moved, you know, to another place. And he wanted me to have a full view of the area where they brought the wheelchairs. I was up on a balcony. I'm looking down in that area. And Yonji Cho's church is known for healings and miracles and signs and wonders. It really is. I mean, they have a lot of them. But that particular service, even though they prayed for each, you know, different ministers went through that area. But in that particular service, they wheeled every person out in the same wheelchair that they come in. And the Holy Spirit very gently and sweetly said to me, that is not the Father's will. Do not stop praying the mysteries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say it with me again. Every need is met. No matter how large. No matter how small. There are no cases too hard. There are no cases too late. And whatever they come for to receive from Jesus, they get it. All of them. First time. Every time. No exceptions. I declare every captive free. Free in spirit. Free in soul. Free in body. All are delivered. All are restored. Father, you are provider. Angels are dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything that is required Things we know about now. Things we don't even know about yet. Because you are the God who answers before we call. I speak against the strongholds of lack. And I declare an abundance. Abundance. Be in the name of Jesus. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all in abound. With many baskets left over. We have such abundance. We can pay the way for many to come. And many to go. And we send them out on prosperous journeys for God with abundance. In a manner fitting for servants of the Lord. Our financial granaries are full. Because our King has found stewards he can trust. And I'm one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you have need of, come to my house first. All I need to know is my Lord has need of it, and it's yours. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions at your feet. And I say again, Lord, if you need anything I have, it's yours. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. The second commandment is like unto the first. I love my neighbor as myself. And I love my neighbor as you have loved me. I love my good neighbors. I love my bad neighbors. I love my mean neighbors. And I love my enemies. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Whatever you ask, that's what I do. I am your servant. I am your bondslave. By my own free will choice. I serve you, Lord, by serving these people that you love so much. I serve the good people. I serve the bad people. I serve the mean people. And I especially serve your enemies. Excuse me. Because you're trying to save them all. And you'd like to use me to do it. All that I have is yours. My time is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours. I own nothing. I am your bond slave. Use me as you will. You are a provider for me, my family, and all that I have. And I am available for your use. We lift up the blood-stained banner over this city. Written in the blood of Jesus on the banner are these words. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Tulsa is in revival. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Father, have your way. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. Again I say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Captives, go free. Blind, see. Deaf, hear. Lame, walk. Maimed, behold. Dead, rise again. In the name of Jesus. Father, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever. Your will be done in Tulsa. Your truth be seen in Tulsa. Just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in earth. As in heaven, so in Tulsa. Tulsa is saved. Tulsa is saved. Tulsa is saved. Now shout about it. Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory! We have what we say in the name of Jesus. We have what we say. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now this is our prayer box. The pictures on here represent people that we've already prayed for. And every one of these pictures represents what the world would call an impossible case. One of the pictures, for example, on here is a young lady named Victoria that was born with a partial brain. There's nowhere on earth we can send her to have that fixed. Not in a hospital, not in a church that we know of. But how many knows? All things are possible, just like we said a while ago. So, Father, we're not lifting these up to you again. Jesus told us to pray and believe that we receive and we shall have it. We know you heard us the first time. So, Father, we're just thanking you that we shall see the manifested miracle, the manifested supernatural healing in each and every one of these cases. And Father, on the inside of this box are prayer requests of all kinds, and new ones come in daily. Father, your word tells us that if we ask anything that's according to your will, we know that you hear us. And Father, our confidence is if you hear us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of you. So Father, we're just joining our faith together with these. Thank you, Father. We're thanking you for answering every prayer that Jesus paid the price for them to have. Father, if a stranger sent a prayer request here, by stranger I mean somebody not yet born again. They're not yet in the family, not yet in the kingdom. And it really doesn't matter if they're agnostic, atheistic, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, or anything else. Father, if they had enough faith to send a prayer request here, and if that prayer request is in line with your will and your word, Father, we ask like Solomon asked, answer the prayer of the stranger. Father, do it in such a unique and unusual way, they'll have to know it was you that answered that prayer. So they can know, like we already know, that you are the only true and living God. And they can hear the gospel of your Son and be saved in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for every prayer cloth that goes forward from this house and every church and every fellowship that's associated with it. Father, you haven't changed at all. You're the same God today that you were in the book of Acts. And that's why we expect the same results. Father, when those cloths are laid on the sick, they will recover. When they're laid on people that have devils, those devils will just come out. Father, that means alcoholics will be delivered, drug addicts will be delivered, all manner of bipolar and schizophrenia and all other kinds of mental diseases, the devils will just come out. Father, you'll put marriages back together. You'll turn the hearts of the children back to the parents and the hearts of the parents to the children and many other such things you do because you haven't changed at all. You're the same God today that you were then. And that's why we expect the same results, and we thank you for the same results. Father, we'd lift up Pastor Dave and Rosalie and all of their house, Tim and Leah Stemple and all of their house. Father, all of the ministers and their families, not only here in Tulsa, but all around the world, everyone that's joined together by their faith, and they're standing with us for this outpouring. Father, we declare no weapon formed against them will prosper. We're talking about not only the leadership, the staff, the volunteers, the congregations, no weapon formed against them will prosper. But everything they set their hand to do will prosper in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, last but certainly not least, we're facing another week. We've got the same number of clock hours available to us as any king or any president. And truth be told, the hours, how we use them, might be more important than any king or president because we're dealing with eternal things. Father, help us be better stewards of our time. The time bandit is pretty good at what he does. So easy to get distracted, Lord, even by, quote, good things. Father, one day we're going to stand in front of you and we're going to give an accounting of how we stewarded this life that you gave us. Father, when we stand there, we sure would like to have the same testimony as Paul. We fought the good fight. We kept the faith. We finished our race. And Father, in our case, we know, we're so blessed that we know what our race is. And that is this outpouring of revival. We know why you called us. And Father, we declare you will have your revival. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with that, you can say amen. We're believing for a full healing for our pastor, Dave Roberson. I keep talking with her. This is her first time at a calling in loss. And our pastor is catching a healing, as they say. We're believing for a full manifestation. So we've made up some prayer confessions over him. Let's do at least a portion of these, okay? Say after me, Dave blesses the Lord with all of his soul and with all that is within him. Dave blesses the Lord and forgets not all of his benefits. He remembers that the Lord forgives all of his iniquities. And the Lord heals all of his diseases. Dave's life is redeemed from destruction. He is crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Dave is satisfied with good things. Now picture, and his youth is renewed like the eagle. So we say when Dave 2.0 walks in, he's going to be better looking, more anointed, more funny than ever. Hallelujah. The Lord has lit Dave's candle and enlightened his darkness. The Lord causes him to run through a troop and leap over a wall. The Lord girds Dave with strength and makes his way perfect. The Lord makes him able to stand firmly and to make progress on the dangerous heights of testings and trials. The Lord sets Dave firmly upon the high places. The Lord teaches Dave's hands to war. And the Lord is his shield of salvation. Dave pursues his spiritual enemies. And he overtakes them. He does not stop until his enemies are consumed. Dave's enemies are wounded and not able to rise. They are fallen under his feet. The Lord has girded Dave with strength for the battle. And the Lord has subdued those that rose up against Dave. Dave has a sound mind full of love and power. Free from fear and torment. He is in constant fellowship with the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit teaches Dave all truth and shows him things to come. Dave has the mind of Christ. Dave has access to all wisdom. Dave accurately discerns all things. Dave is a steward of the mysteries of God. And he remembers every revelation he has received. Dave has been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Lord himself causes Dave's mind to articulate and to hear clearly all the days of his life. The Lord himself causes Dave's health to be in place. Dave takes authority over his mind. And he speaks to his soul every day. And we're joining with him right now saying, I command you to be sound and healthy. You are not permitted to lose memories.
Never.
In Jesus' name. We call forth the Lord's hidden ones to overthrow the enemies who desire to take the houses of the Lord into their own possession. Our God empowers the hidden ones to rise up and make His enemies like the stubble before the wind. Let the enemies of God be confounded and ashamed. That men may know that Thou alone, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Lord, empower Your hidden ones with supernatural wisdom to overtake the way of the world's wisdom. We call forth change into the monetary situations as Your hidden ones are released into their anointings. Dave continually walks in the peace of God. Dave shall end up full of years and full of days. The nature of God comes forth in Dave as a reigning conqueror. Dave receives from the Lord peace and joy with no fear to the end of his days. Dave shall go home fat with reward and shouting the victory every moment. Dave is leading the charge into the revival. Massage your hoper. Dave is leading the charge into the revival. The revival of truth, soundness of mind, and sanity. A revival so grounded and sound that the finest minds will evaluate and say, your God must be God. Lord, we magnify and glorify You. We rejoice in Your presence. For You alone are our freedom. You alone are our answer. Now, Lord, Your word declares that there is a people who will not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which they say shall come to pass. They shall have whatsoever they say. Lord, You found us. You found that people. We refuse doubt in our heart. And we declare everything we have spoken shall come to pass exactly as we said it. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Every word, every word, every word.